In every dark town, there are dark corners seldom tread, subjects of foreboding urban legends. Among every quiet community, there are entities of ill intent, boogeymen whose true faces are always concealed behind a veil of ghostly rumors. These are the things used to keep children well behaved, for their true power resides in the terror of their fiction and the uncertain nature of their reality. And when they're real, when they're really real, they hide in plain sight. They feign the same room temperature innocence of their environments, claiming victims who don't think to look for the snare beneath their feet. On Elliot's walk to his first day of school in his new town, his third in under a year, he would have never noticed such a place. He would have kept right on walking, were it not for that first kid who evidently couldn't stand to be near it. And then a second. And a third. Not all of them. But a starkly noticeable amount of them. Some of these kids were genuinely terrified, to the point where they would avoid it in a big semicircle in the middle of the road before returning to the sidewalk. Some would cross the street altogether. Elliot couldn't make sense of it. It was just another house, as far as he was concerned. Actually, it appeared quite nice. Neatly manicured lawn, fresh-looking paint in spring colors, and a big, crystal-clear bay window. A brand new yellow lounge chair in the spotless living room, complete with a shiny side table, reading lamp, and an unused ashtray. It looked untouched, like it was more for display than for living in, and yet there was something about it. Something cold. Crap. Late again. Living as a military brat, you learn quick that first impressions are the most important, and stumbling into a classroom 5 minutes late, covered in sweat, after sprinting the last few blocks was never a good first impression to make. It looked as if the first day was going to be another lonely one. And it was. Welcomed with laughter as he tripped over his own shoelaces, stumbling into class a full 8 minutes late. An awkward, rehearsed greeting from the other students after the constipated teacher gave him a routine introduction. A lonely lunch period. Sitting alone over a lukewarm slab of mystery meat. And there, once again, he heard about the house that everyone seemed to dread. Apparently, it had a name.
Smokehouse?
Yeah, didn't you hear? This place had another one last week. Just swallowed him up whole.
Yeah, right. Who?
See, that's the creepy thing. Nobody can remember his name. It's like he never existed.
Well, that's convenient. I don't believe a word of this crap.
Jack isn't lying. If you're so sure of yourself, why don't you go in and prove him wrong?
Fine. I will.
Fine, then. Meet us there after school.
Elliot followed the group after school. He was curious. He wanted to know what could possibly be so bad about such an innocent-looking home. Besides, if he played his cards right, maybe his stay in this town wouldn't have to be so lonely and miserable after all. He watched the exchange from behind a nearby tree, watched as the skeptic's bravado dissolved more and more into rattled cowardice by the second.
Well, go on.
Well,
go on already!
I will. Just shut up.
His foot stopped just inches shy of the lawn, hanging there for 5 seconds, then 10. Evidently perfectly content to remain there forever rather than take the first step. Watching from behind the nearby tree, Elliot snickered to himself. What a coward.
Forget it. This is stupid.
I knew it. You chicken.
I am not.
Elliot seized his chance before the exchange could become a shouting match. If he could prove himself here, he wouldn't be spending another lonely lunch hour for the rest of his days in that town. He emerged from behind the tree with all the confidence of a superhero and declared flatly,
I'll do it.
What?
I said I'll do it. It doesn't look so scary to me.
You're that new kid, ain't you? The one that fell all over himself in social studies this morning. Eddie, right?
Yeah, that's me. And it's Elliot.
Yeah, well, look here, Eddie. This ain't no house. This here is Smokehouse. People say it's alive. They say it kills. The last kid who tried wasn't ever the same again.
It's Elliot.
Whatever.
Yeah, go on, Elliot. I mean, Eddie. You're so tough. Go in and sit in that chair in the window.
Tough talk coming from the guy who didn't even want to set foot on the grass. What's the big deal? It's just a stupid house.
Well, go on then. If it's just a stupid house, let's see what you're made of.
Elliot shrugged, wholly unimpressed by the bluster. This would be a snap, he thought. But from his first few steps on the grass, he wasn't so sure. Something about the place suddenly looked wrong. The colors weren't as bright, the window looked cloudy, like it had taken on a film of dust from the inside, and he could swear that he saw the paint on the door beginning to chip and peel at the edges. He stopped, dead in his tracks.
Whoa. Do you guys see?
I see a chicken. That's what I see.
This is stupid.
What's the matter, Eddie? Having second thoughts? I mean, it's just a stupid house, right? I mean, if you're too chicken.
Elliot grimaced, his face flushed with indignity. He'd built himself up too big, and he couldn't let the situation go sour now. He had no choice. He turned on his heels and pressed forward, to the taunting chuckle of an amassing audience. He'd make a name for himself, no matter what. As he gripped the doorknob, he felt a sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach, and a coppery taste well up in his mouth. He ignored it. It was just a house, just a stupid house, and nothing more. He turned the knob, surprised to find it unlocked, and stepped inside. I guess these small-town folk don't lock their doors, he thought to himself, and as welcoming as the foyer appeared, that would be the last normal thought within its walls. His head spun, his vision tunneled, and the coppery taste grew stronger by the second. He spat in nausea. And to his horror, a writhing black ichor landed at his feet, dissolving into tendrils of smoke before his eyes. It was real. And before he could react, it already had him in its clutches. The door slammed violently behind him, and as he turned to run, his vision whirled into a smudged parody of reality. Where once there was a door, there was now only a blank wall. One of four, stark white with no windows. And no doors.
No. No, 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 no.
Whatever was in that house, it wasted no time drilling into his head. He felt along the walls in a panic, each step feeling shorter than the last. Each new surface a part of a different room, yet all the same. He could no longer make sense of space. He could no longer feel his legs beneath him as he stumbled about the empty chamber. His mind collapsed, and the house took control, delivering him into a new and unspeakable horror. He stepped back and watched the white walls crumple into yellow decay, the smell of sour smoke saturating his throat and lungs, and the terror arrested his brain.
No! Let me out! Let me out! Elliot! Do you like the taste? Do you like to watch them burn?
Who is that? Who are you? Let me out!
But the house gave no answer. Each turn of his head landed his eyes on a different room and a different peril. A kitchen swallowed in white-hot flames where he saw himself burn. A bathroom choked in noxious clouds of smoke. And he saw his face in a melting mirror. A leathery nightmare with yellowing teeth, coarse, and wrinkled skin like cracked pavement.
Oh God. Oh my God. What's happening to me?
It seemed to happen so fast. It flooded his senses, addled his mind with confusion, left him breathless, and he lost his sense of time. The world slipped away from beneath his feet and swallowed him in darkness for what felt like minutes. It might have been years, but long enough for time to stand still. Long enough to replace everything with the taste of smoke and the horrors of the house, until only his name remained.
Elliot, do you taste it? Do you taste the smoke?
The walls. They were wet and warm, slick with some kind of mucus. And they were pulsing rhythmically,
undulating with the beat of his heart. Racing as his heart raced, and his nails grazed its surface, he felt the fierce sting of it in his mouth.
What is this? What do you want from me?
A light bulb, wedged in what might have once been called the ceiling, flickered to life, showing him the room in his strobe. But this was no room, not anymore. This was a body cavity, swallowed in pink, spreading flesh, inflamed and red with sickness, red with his sickness, and at the far end, slowly swallowing the edges of a single white door with no knob, yellowing the edges, blocking his only way out. He would not let the house win. Elliot rose to his feet in panic, pounding on the door, and the force of every knock rang through his teeth with a sickening throb. He knew what he had to do, the pain he would feel, but he would not die here. Agony. As the door snapped free from the creeping sinew, leaving a gushing wound in its place, he could feel every bit of the damage in his own body, every second of trauma here soaked into the very fibers of his being. This was no house. This place was sickness. This place was death.
Why is this happening to me? Why?
Elliot dried his tears.
Why is
he looked
this happening
up to the room
to
before him, and he remembered why he was here in the first place. He saw the reading lamp flickering faintly in the darkness and remembered a stupid dare to hang out with some stupid jerks that he didn't even like. He saw the ashtray, filled to the brim with the charred and twisted remains of old matches, and remembered the name. Smokehouse. And he saw the chair, tattered and faded, and in it sat the voice of the house. The voice that knew his name, striking matches and staring into the dancing flame.
I like to watch them burn. I like the taste. Do you, Elliot?
It turned to Elliot with a menacing grin that he could not see, but could feel in his bones, a wisping silhouette of smoke, not quite a person, with an excess miasma wafting from its shoulders and choking the room in a haze that stung Elliot's eyes.
Geez, Eddie, took your time getting there, didn't you? What are you waiting for, an invitation? Take a seat.
He could see the world he left behind from the bay window. And everything was fine. Just another sunny autumn afternoon, and three jerks who didn't have a clue. They could see him from the window. They could see the fear in his eyes, but they could not see the hell that he saw. He turned and met the invisible eyes of the smoky phantom. And it was standing, beckoning to the chair.
What are you waiting for? An invitation? Take a seat.
And despite himself, he did. He sat in the chair and watched the jerks outside laugh. Swallowed in a whirlwind of soot and ash, he watched them rot from within his own nightmare, saw their fates that they couldn't yet see for themselves. He saw his own hands and the skin shriveled and tightened. As the nails yellowed, he saw visions of a hospital bed, heard the chirp of an alarmed EKG machine. He saw his own death, and he wanted no part of it. With the last of his strength, Elliot hurled himself from the chair and ran for the door. The room beyond fell into the abyss, a hallway of red flesh without end, bleeding and racked with the echo of ghostly coughs. He didn't care. He would not be the thing's prisoner. He stumbled through the smoke and the dry cough rising in his throat, pushed past the miles of fleshy walls, squeezed through the last remaining yards of inflamed and reddened gums, and reached with his gnarled hands through the last inches between him and the door to freedom.
Way to go, Elliot. You got guts, man.
Don't. Don't go.
Jesus, Elliot, what happened?
Don't go inside. Don't go inside. Do you like to watch them burn.
That would be the last time Jack set foot so close to Smokehouse. He would cross the street from that day on, like everyone else. And yet, in its living disease, there remained a distinct, beckoning call. Calling him to taste the smoke, to burn one more. Just one more.